friends with the monster, the son of my bed. Get along with the voices.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. And joining us right now, as we promised, is George Whitfield. And he's been with us before. He is the a quarterback coach, former quarterback himself, based in San Diego, California. You played at the collegiate level, Arena Football League, and now you do a lot of work, and these guys are fortunate to have you, I know, with these top quarterbacks preparing for the draft. You're working with Johnny Manziel, for one, from Texas A&M, among other players at other positions. But let's focus on the quarterback thing first, George. I should welcome you to the show. How you doing?
Great. Great. To see you again. Great to meet Eric Metcalf. I got to call my dad when I get off here.
Awesome.
And tell him, man, I met him.
That's good. No, I saw you guys exchanging pleasantries here before we went on the air, and I am glad you guys got to meet.
I know we got much to cover.
No, go ahead.
So I grew up in Massillon, Ohio.
Yep.
You know, just so the audience know, I do live in San Diego now, and I don't know if I would ever, like, really trade that back. But growing up in Massillon, we didn't have that many stars within our region. And then when Eric Metcalf came up, I just remember everybody was trying to, you know, they're hopping through the traffic in the hallway at school. And you know what I mean? You just try you know, I remember, you know, Sandy Alomar, you know, Mr. Metcalf, and I don't even know if we had that many dynamic Cavs players, but certainly, I mean, this is really, I mean, you said that earlier, and I thought, I wonder what Metcalf is he talking about? But like I said, I got to call my dad and uncles when we get off the phone about this one. But
I appreciate
that's going to be cool.
That's great. And so let's start with what you do and getting the first time I got to meet you, you were working with Cam Newton right prior to that draft, and he was the top overall pick, worked out pretty well. You're working now with Johnny Manziel. How do you refer to him, John or Johnny?
Johnny.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're working with Johnny Manziel, because I know that gets changed up a little bit. And I want you to break down for us what you're seeing. How long have you guys been working together, and what are you doing with him to prep him for the draft?
Well, we basically got started shortly after the national championship game. You know, he still, you know, needed to come back, and he wanted to, you know, make his announcement and get everything buttoned up at A&M. And then, you know, we landed, so pretty much about the second week of January, and we've been going six-day weeks. So we've been working into 2 o'clock on Saturday is when, you know, he's off. But we've been covering all the, I call them courses, that young quarterbacks have to prepare for getting ready for the NFL. One, the classroom. So no matter what the system, you know, so, you know, Cam played and, you know, Auburn system and Luck, you know, was in a little different situation come out of Stanford. But they all have to adapt and acclimate into this new Latin. It's like learning Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And all the, you know, the specifics and the details of how the intricacies of protections and for coverages in ways they haven't really gone before. And, you know, there's probably 3 or 4 base offenses in the NFL, and you got to get yourself familiarized with that. Secondly was his weight training and performance work. So, you know, as you know, you got to get him ready for everything that happens here. We kept referring to this as the Olympics for football. So, you know, all the tests, you know, what's, you know, all the events that are coming for that. So there's a way to train and see and study that, and then just got to get in there and get bigger and stronger. And that's if you're Cam and Luck or you're Johnny, they all got to come in and you know, putting that hammer down in that area. And then obviously on the field, we just continue to try to work and refine not just mechanics and fundamentals, but also just gameplay and protocol. And he's really just grown. You know, I just told somebody the other day, just not too long ago, that I heard him the other day tell one of his friends, "Hey, I'll call you tomorrow, you know, after work, after I get done, you know, with my work.
Yeah.
And it just struck me in such a way, because that just to hear his reference to that. You know, we see him at 7 a.m., then the projector goes off at about 6:30, and then by the time he's done with all his therapy stuff, you know, it is 7:30. So he does look at it and treat it, you know, just, you know, he's from a hardworking family and parents, and he knows his parents get up and they go to work, and now he's full-time, and his sole focus is preparation, football, you know, progress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm proud of him and encourage watching him.
I explained earlier that when I did my combine experience way back when, I came here only wanting to do things that I knew I was good at. So I only ran the 40, I did all the jumping because I knew I was good at. Now, when Johnny decides he's not throwing here, mm-hmm. is that your advice, or is that just something that he decided he wanted to do?
No, it's collective. He's prepared to, and he's ready to, but it's just something that I think quarterbacks, sometimes you're fortunate enough to be in a position where you can take that opportunity or wait to your pro day opportunity. And we had this, we were right here at this spot with Andrew Luck when Andrew came in here and he said, hey, I'm going to compete at everything and then I'm going to, you know, build and prepare and then meet you guys in Palo Alto for, you know, for my passing workout. So it is fascinating how guys kind of arrive at that decision. And you're going to go, you know, they know everybody, I'm going to have to come out there and you know, show all and do all. And for him, the best situation for him was to be at A&M this year with the passing part. But he has been working awfully hard, and I'm excited to see what he does here.
All right. George Whitfield joining us. He is a quarterback coach extraordinaire working with college prospects before the draft. He's working with Johnny Manziel. He's from Massillon, Ohio, but based in San Diego. And, George, Eric and I were talking about this a little earlier. You know, Johnny Manziel has made his name and had his success as a Heisman Trophy winner and everything else on a game based on a lot of ad-libbing, on a lot of, you know, what his instincts tell him to do versus what looks like that's been drawn up all nicely with X's and O's and working from the pocket and working from the, quote, classic way you think a quarterback works. His game is we know what his game is. It's moving all over the place and making plays on the fly. Is there any part of that that you're trying to, quote, coach out of him, or is it a case of just adding new things to his repertoire knowing that that's what he's all about, and if an NFL team drafts him and gets him, they know they're getting that?
Well, that's interesting. If you rewind the clock back a year ago, I had this discussion with him and Coach McKinney and Coach Favidal and his coaches down at A&M about that. Your description of him, I think, is truer to form for his freshman year, where it was off of instincts and heart and, you know, exposing opportunities when you could find them. And he had a lot of success with that. And my message to him after his freshman year, after that Heisman year, was, you know, defenses will try to figure out, you know, the solution to this. They'll work to try to find a solution to it. It's just like medical people try to, you know, try to find the, you know, what the remedy is of this virus.
Right.
If you're going to stay ahead and keep having the same level of success, you got to mutate to something else. You can't stay right here. This is no longer right. safe. Right. So he put in the work. You know, we did some different things at Texas A&M. They built, you know, their system and scheme, et cetera, and they worked awfully hard with him. He was number one in the country this year in accuracy from the pocket out of all Division I quarterbacks. And then he was also in the top three in accuracy beyond 15 yards. I think Jameis Winston was up there and maybe Carr, if I'm not mistaken. But so when you look at those two deals, inside the tackle box, he was the highest completion percentage. But it wasn't Dinkin and Duncan because he was also third most accurate when the ball travels past 15 yards. So I think he's made strides. He's got to continue to make strides just like all these guys do. And I think he'll be set by the time he gets ready to launch.
Yeah, I was thinking the whole time that he wasn't throwing because maybe there were just things that you guys felt like he needed to work on and could actually, you could go work on being a drop back passer. I mean, we know he's special, more special when he's in the shotgun and he can really see and work and move around, but that gives you time to properly prepare him for being under center,
yep.
So in case somebody wants to do that.
Yes, yes. Well, and that you're right, Mr. Metcalf. They all got to come through that under center door. And it doesn't matter if you played here, played there. If you are going to successfully, you know, come on across this bridge into the NFL, it will be under center in whatever format. So here, out here, you know, when we watch these guys on Sundays, it'll be under center. At the pro days, you know, I think a lot of kids are going to be put under center. They want to see that. And because playing under center has a lot to do with organization of your footwork, the understanding of you know, the nature of how your feet attach to different routes and things like that. It's a lot. It's a lot of accountability. In the gun, you see it. Kids kind of catch the ball. They wait. They hang. They bounce, and they make plays, even if that's what they're going to wind up doing with it. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Romo, Rivers, Roethlisberger, majority of their snaps now are in shotgun.
Right.
But to make it in, to get through that Ellis Island, to get into the NFL, you're going to have to come in and show your wares under center. And that's exactly what we're working on.
What kind of a student is he? You referenced his – you liked that response that he had with calling somebody back and saying, hey, after work, and defining that as work. But on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, or hour-by-hour, or whatever the thing is in your mind, student, you know, give me a sense of Johnny the worker. – And because that's what NFL teams are looking to judge, too. What right. kind of work ethic is he bringing to the table?
He's been engaged. He's been working. He's been engaged. And here's the cool part. He knows what he doesn't know, if that makes sense.
It does.
A lot of guys are just so oblivious to this, that, and the other.
They think they know it all. They got all the answers.
They think they know it all. So he has no problem. And he's been working. My co-pilot this year with Johnny is Kevin O'Connor.
Okay.
Kevin O'Connell played with the Patriots. He's been behind Tom Brady for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And he's worked in Coach O'Brien's system. You know, in all those hours, him and Brady would sit and break down film. I asked him to bring that into the classroom for Johnny. So when they're on the board and Kevin says, okay, it's scat protection, where does the back's eyes go? Which backer are you going to key? He might sit there for a second on the board and you know, chew on it and challenge it and, make his best, effort on it. And then him and Kevin will go back and forth and say, Kevin's, he'll correct him or go back over it, but he's engaged. And he'll say, well, I thought the Will was supposed to have that, or I thought we're going after the mic back, or whatever it is. But it's been fun because, you know, we know it's not easy. It's not easy to, go in and, put 4 hours in. We go 2 hours in the morning, and he's got another 2 hours in the evening. And it's new. You know, it's Latin. You know, in a way, it'd be more fun if he can go out and practice it with his teammates, but he goes in a classroom, he studies it, and then he goes back to the weight room and he goes back to the football field. It doesn't like he gets to get with the other 10 guys and actually put it together. So, but he's been, putting his best foot forward. It's been exciting.
Yeah, and it's been like that for everybody. I mean, when you go from college to pro, you always have to learn something new, and just the fact that he is trying to learn, and he knows, like you said, he knows what he doesn't know. It's special. We know he's a competitor.
Yep.
We know he wants to be the best at what he is, and that's what you're always going to get. And I think a lot of people have to look at him in that respect, because he's going to play hard. He's doing what he can to try to be that first pick, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what we all wish we could have.
Right.
And he has the opportunity. He's getting better, and I commend you guys on that.
Absolutely.
George, real quick, so other quarterbacks, you ended up with him, but were you approached by, or did you have discussions with Teddy Bridgewater? Did you have discussions with Blake Bortles? I'm just trying to, sift through how this has worked out, where you got Johnny versus them, or could you have had more, or do you just want to focus on one guy at a time?
Well, we have two. Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech is also
right.
out there.
Okay.
But those two were out this past summer. They were out last spring. They were out the year before. So this
okay.
is actually 2 years with these guys. You know, when I actually met Johnny, I met him on the field with Logan Thomas, and at the time, Logan was a high projected draft pick, and Johnny was a third stringer. And, it feels like, I've known them for such a long time. When it came for this, going through this graduating process of getting them over that bridge,
okay.
These are the two that you're already invested in, and you already know them inside and out. You know where they are, and, they trust you. They believe in it. They've been working. And so these are the two guys. Yeah, we've had discussions with some guys and some talented guys, and we got a chance to visit, but it just felt, I didn't want to bring in a cold cattle call. We just got our two guys, and let's go.
And he's on record. Johnny is on record. He said this to some reporters last week, I believe it was, out in California, that, if the Browns take him at four, I mean, his goal, obviously, as any player, is to be number one overall to Houston. He wants that first. Mm-hmm. But he was, I don't know if he was quick to add, but he did add that, hey, if the Browns take me, I'm gonna be the guy that leads them to that Super Bowl. I mean, he was very affirmative, but just because you Maslin and your background and following the Browns as you did as a kid, you wouldn't mind seeing that either.
Oh, are you kidding? Right? So he's asked so many questions, and not just this year, but as a Texas kid, born in Texas, growing up in Texas, playing college in Texas, he understands Texas football.
Yeah.
So as he and I got a chance to meet and pass cross, he asked an awful lot of questions about Maslin Stadium. Is it really that? Do people really? Is the Tiger real? Ohio State, 100,000 people go down there to watch the Buckeyes. The Browns really sell out, even when they're not at the top of the division, or even when they're going through rough patches. Is the dog pound really like that? Tell me about that. And so now he has a true sense of, well, I know I grew up in a football state, but I understand Ohio is also a football state, and that's really. Who wouldn't want to go and play in front of, just an audience that's going just, live and breathe, your every effort.
Right,
and,
right, right.
You want to give back to them, just the way they draw from that
So
energy.
You're good with the organization. I know you're not making this call for him, and he's got eight, other people but voices in his head. But, the new Kyle Shanahan's offense, you're good with what he would step into.
Oh, are you kidding? I think he's one of the bright young coaches in the NFL.
Okay.
And you've seen him with different quarterback models. Not just with RG3, but he also had Kirk Cousins, and you go down to the Texans, and he did some great things with Matt Schaub. I think he's one of the bright young coaches, and man, what timing, should that work? A very young, innovative guy with a very young, innovative player.
Beautiful. George, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And, thank you for having me.
Yeah, always. Your wonderful insights, and we'll talk very soon down the road. He is George Whitfield, quarterback coach. Sal Palantonio is going to be joining us from ESPN in a couple of minutes. That's next up here as we broadcast from the Combine in Indianapolis. Vic Carucci, Eric Metcalf. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.